Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners, but also to introduce the four talented and exciting performers of the game who are going to play this week. We welcome back one of our veteran players of the game who's been with us since the show first began, that is the erudite Clement Freud. We also welcome back one of our most talented and original comedians of today, and that is Paul Merton. We also welcome back, after a long break, one of Britain's finest and most talented lyricists, that is Tim Rice. And we also welcome, for the very first time on this show, someone who is one of the uncrowned kings of presenters in Ireland and one of Ireland's most loved sons, that is Gerry Kelly. And as usual, I'm going to ask the four of them at different times, of course, to speak on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me sits Helen Williams, who's going to help me keep the score. She will blow a whistle when the full minute is up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Belfast Festival at Queen's, and we are at the university here, amongst a very animated, highly hyped up, over-excited Northern Ireland audience. And we're going to have a lot of fun. And as we begin the show this week with Paul Merton, and Paul, oh, the subject so apt for anything concerned with Ireland, the crack. We're going to tell us something about the crack, Paul, in 60 seconds, if you can, starting now.
Well, it's a word that means gossip or banter or just enjoying the sound of conversation.
Jerry Kelly's challenged already.
It's not...
Actually, Gerry, I thought I knew a little bit about this country, but I thought that was a reasonable description. Well, what is your challenge then?
It's not.
So you think that's deviation?
That's the word, deviation. Yes. Yes.
But on what basis is it deviation?
Because I could tell you what it is actually about.
Well, all right, as you've never been on the show before and you've challenged before anybody's got underway, which is sort of one of the unsung rules of Just a Minute. Gerry, we give you the subject and you've got, with 54 seconds left, to tell us something about the crack. Starting now.
The crack, the meaning of the...
And... I am afraid it was hesitating. It's a difficult game, Jerry. Yeah. And if you're going to stick your neck out on the first 5 minutes of your first appearance on the show, you've got to take what comes to you, I'm afraid. So, Tim, I had to give that to you. Yes, it was hesitation, and the 50 seconds left. Tell us something about the crack, starting now.
As far as I'm concerned, crack has nothing whatsoever to do with buttocks. It means a joke. For me, a crack is something humorous, and the greatest crack of all time is, beyond doubt, what is the difference between a...
Gerry, you got in very cleverly.
Hesitation.
My goodness me, he's sharp. He's never done it before. Gerry, let us now hear what the crack is from you, and there are 35 seconds left, and you start now.
The crack is a happy confluence of drink, women, and song. That is the description in a new book just out in Ireland. The crack is mainly held...
Gerry, I'm sure you've got some fans in the audience, but why do they clap every time you make a mistake? I think I can only be affection. Clement Freud, you challenge. Yes, another hesitation. 25 seconds, the crack, starting now.
The sort of thing you would hear at a crack would be a story about Prince Charles going to the north of England to make a speech, wearing a Davy Crockett headgear, and at the end of his address, someone went up to him and said, "Brilliant, but what an extraordinary thing you've got on your head." And he said, "It was Mama's idea. I told her I was going to Scunthorpe." And she said, "Wear the fox hat."
Good. A clever thing in just a minute is if you're going to tell a story, make sure you finish with a payoff as the whistle goes. Otherwise, you can't continue. Kevin Troy, you got your payoff in, and you heard the whistle, and you stopped because that tells us 60 seconds was up. And whoever is speaking at that moment in this particular game, or any of the games in just a minute, gains extra points. So at the end of that round, Jerry Kelly and Clement Freud are equal in the lead. Tim, will you take the next round? The subject is eyes and teeth. Tell us something about eyes and teeth, Tim, in 60 seconds if you can, starting now.
Eyes and teeth are terrific attributes if you wish to become a star. Think of all those incredible performers over the years whose eyes have made them what they are. Biz, Frank Sinatra, Paul Newman, eyes of blue, irresistible. Then there are teeth. Immediately one thinks of the Bee Gees, Barry, Robin, and Morris. Let me just recite one or two of their great hits. Massachusetts, New York mining disaster, 1941.
I'm sorry,
have you seen my wife, Mr.
Paul,
Jones?
Before you started some of the Bee Gees hits, Paul challenged you.
Well, I didn't want him to recite some of their great hits.
So you consider that as deviation from eyes and teeth?
Absolutely.
Well,
the entire Bee Gees career was founded on brilliant songs, but also the teeth.
And the hair.
And the hair.
And you're arguing against yourself now, you know, Paul. No, I actually agree with your challenge. I think he was getting away from the subject of eyes and teeth and more about the Bee Gees and their life and their hits. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. 33 seconds are available. Eyes and teeth starting now.
I know a man who's an ear, nose and throat specialist, and I asked him once why he didn't also specialise in ears. Ears? I've said ears.
Clement,
it's jet lag.
Yes, right. Clement?
Repetition of ears?
Yes. 35 seconds. Eyes and teeth, Clement, starting now.
It is odd that medics specialize as in ENT. I went to an eyes and teeth man who just announced himself by his initials and thought he was for elbows and toes and had to pay a lot of money for totally useless advice because my feet were in reasonable shape at the time. Eyes and teeth are important attributes, as my friend Sir Timothy has just said.
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now taking the lead ahead of the others in this particular game. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. Let's have something unusual. Oxymoron. Clement, tell us something about oxymoron in this game, starting now.
An oxymoron is a juxtaposition of two words, the whole of which beggars belief. Like a heavyweight liberal, or...
challenge.
It was a long arm there.
Yes, sir. After he mentioned the word liberal, he was waiting for his automatic round of applause for the Liberal Party. I agree with the hesitation, so there are 50 seconds available for you, Tim, on oxymoron starting now.
I don't really have very strong views about this particular subject, oxymoron, but nonetheless, I think it is my duty to impart them to you.
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation. It's not his duty.
No, it's not his duty.
No duty at all. Doesn't have to say anything about it. Yeah. So he doesn't care anything about the subject, so why should he bore us rigid?
Paul, because of the audience applause, I will give you a bonus point because I enjoyed the challenge. But you can be bored rigid in just a minute if you wish, as long as you don't deviate, hesitate, or repeat something. So oxymoron is still with you, Tim, and there are 41 seconds left, starting now.
Frankly, I was rather hoping the subject would be taken away from me.
Paul, you have challenged again.
It's up to you, Nicholas, to make his wish come true.
Well, I'll give you a bonus point. You have the subject, and oxymoron is with you, Paul, starting now.
Well, it's an old English term which basically means eight idiots, the sort of people that you might get in a rowing boat. There are seven plus one of those individuals, and that would be an oxymoron.
Jerry Kelly time.
Individuals, I think he said twice.
I don't think so.
Sorry.
No, he tried not to use people in a boat and tried to say individuals instead of people again.
I'm sorry.
27 seconds available with you, Paul. Oxymoron starting now.
Nicholas Parsons, professional chairman. Do you see there's an inherent contradiction there? place, which, as somebody earlier said, beggars belief. One thinks of our esteemed man, the middle, as being somebody who perhaps has been in show business for a very long time. But when you actually think about it, you're stuck for a reason as to why he should have survived as long as he has. You must have blackmail photographs featuring high-up people at Radio 4.
I hope you were cheering Paul's talent of keeping going and not saying. Really. So Paul Merton was speaking as it went, gained that extra point, and he's now in the lead, just ahead of the other three. The 1 point separates all of them. Jerry Kelly, will you begin the next round? Jerry, oh, what an apt subject for Paul's darling man of Ireland, the Emerald Isle. Tell us something about that jewel in the crown of the Atlantic Ocean. 60 seconds, starting now.
The Emerald Isle is a phrase known worldwide to denote Ireland, but I often wondered, is it as verdant as people think it is? I got to the question answered a few years back when I interviewed a lady called Helen Sharman. She was an astronaut, the first British lady who went to go up.
What did she do, Jerry?
She went to go up on the...
I think that's better than what they normally do. But Tim challenged first. I think we call it hesitation. Tim, 21 seconds are available. The Emerald Isle starting now.
When I, a mere Englander, think of the Emerald Isle, I think, of course, of the...
Clement Floyd challenge.
Two thinks, rather quickly.
Yes, I'm afraid that's right. A repetition. Emerald Isle is with you, Clement, and there are 36 seconds available, starting now.
When Mr. Kelly talked about a lady gastronome, I'm reminded of, at one point, cooking in a kitchen in Droida, and I said I would like the extra virgin olive oil. And the woman said, you mean the emerald oil? And I said, yes, I am.
Tim Challenge, you were right at your laugh, yeah. But I think...
Well, it was really rather unsporting of me, but I did feel...
It wasn't, he didn't pause for a very long time. I think he was expecting a bigger laugh, actually.
Expecting a buzz.
Well, you've got the buzz as well. Good. And the 16 seconds are available. The Emerald Isle with you, Tim, starting now.
The Emerald Isle to me means the Eurovision Song Contest. Year after 12-month period, the Irish triumph in this sensationally exciting, gripping...
I knew Paul would challenge on that one. Yes, Paul.
Sensational, gripping Eurovision Song Contest.
Now, this is one of those things I don't wish to judge because I could prejudice my position with the general public.
But no.
No, I'm quite prepared to say, let the audience be the superior judges. If you think the Eurovision Song Contest is gripping, you cheer. And if you think it was boring, you boo. And you all do it together, now.
Does that help you to make your decision, Nicholas?
I don't know why they have it on the television after having heard that. Fine, there we are. There were two people. I mean, they came in with the cheers at the end. I think they've just broken off, actually. Paul, we agree with your challenge. There are 5 seconds available. The Emerald Isle starting now.
The great thing I love about coming to Ireland is being able to hire a car and drive around on roads which are nowhere near as congested as the streets.
Even though Paul Merton was speaking as a whistle went, got an extra point for doing so. Tim Rice got a number of points in that round, and he's taken the lead just ahead of the others. Tim, will you take the next round? The subject, man's best friend. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
Of course, man's best friend is dog. And I'm immediately reminded of a wonderful story about a dachshund and a street vendor. What is the difference between these two people? The answer is that one bawls out his wares on the pavement and the other does the opposite. This is a very interesting illustration of the importance that this kind of quadruped has in our lives. Personally, my favorite type of animal that goes, oh, is a boxer. These wonderful, slobbering, cuddly, children-favoring animals are an absolute delight. I do have a little problem with their wind, but other than that, they are virtually perfect animals. Short-haired, easy to clean, not too many fleas.
Jerry, you challenged.
Animals.
Yes.
A couple of times.
You repeated animals. Yeah. So, Tim, you did jolly well. You kept going for 49 seconds. But Jerry was listening well. He got in with animals, repetition, and man's best friend with you, Jerry, starting now.
Man's best friend is woman. I have known ladies for many, many years now. I've just repeated many. I know.
Many, many, yes. Oh, I don't know whether to be over generous and say carry on because it was a perk. The audience decided I have. I'm terribly sorry, Clement. They're entirely prejudiced here. And Jerry, in spite of that, but I can't let you get away with it again. Many, many is repetition, but on this occasion we won't allow it, and you have 6 seconds to tell us more about man's best friend, starting now.
Quite a few years I have known women, and I've loved...
Paul Chung's this time.
Tradition of women.
Yes, you said women before. You see, Paul at point that it was a correct challenge, and he takes over the subject.
It's not a correct challenge.
Yours was pretty
good. No, Paul's challenge. Let's be... pro-Jerry on this program.
All right, then. Pro-Jerry.
He said man's best friend
all right,
is woman.
Take away then up the point from...
He said man's best friend is woman, and then he said women.
I did. So that was...
Well, as I was put female in the plural, I suppose I didn't recognize it. There we are. So, Jerry, that was an incorrect challenge.
Thank you.
So you have another point, and you have 3 seconds left for man's best friend, starting now.
The first?
What is that?
Hesitation.
Absolutely. So, Jerry, you have another point. You have 2.5 seconds on man's best friend, starting now.
The second female that I ever met was my teacher. I loved her from the instant.
So, at the end of that round, Jerry Kelly was speaking as the whistle went, and he has leapt forward. And, yes, but he's leapt. But he is equal in second place with Paul Merton, who are only 2 points behind our joint leaders, Clement Freud and Tim Rice. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, casing the joint. Tell us something about that subject in this game, just a minute, starting now.
Casing the joint is a word for investigating a trend.
Tim.
It's not a word, it's 3 words.
Correct challenge. A man who deals in words must know, wasn't he? Right, so 56 seconds are available for casing the joint with you, Tim, starting now.
If ever you are offered a property by an estate agent, those wonderful band of men, then you should be absolutely certain before entering into any contract, deal, or agreement with said business characters that you case the joint. This means you wander around the premises looking in every nook and each cranny to make absolutely certain that...
Camera play challenge.
His second absolutely.
It's a very strange reaction. Someone was having a
very good challenge, I must say. Very good challenge.
33 seconds, Clement, for you. Casing the joint, starting now.
Casing the joint could also mean putting pork, beef, lamb, or some other meat into a box or parcel. Even marijuana would be the sort of joint which you might case if you were worried about maximum...
Sorry?
I'm not... Could you hear me? I could hear you.
I know. I was prompting our first-time player it again.
Ah.
Yeah, but it didn't work. So you carry on. You have 15 more seconds on casing the joint, starting now.
Casing the joint is a very good expression, which I think people would use much more often if it consisted of 3 words instead of one.
A Paul Merton challenge.
Well, deviation, it does consist of 3 words.
I know. And I don't know what he was talking about, actually. Kind of pure Freudian rubbish to me, but no. So, Paul, I agree with your challenge. There are 5 seconds on casing the joint, starting now.
When I cook a leg of lamb, I like to encase the whole piece of meat in phyllo pastry, and that gives it...
Paul Merton was speaking as the whistle went. He has moved forward. The leaders are still jointly Clement Freud and Tim Rice. Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, knick-knacks. Tell us something about those. In just a minute, if you can. Starting now.
I'm not sure what knick-knacks are, really. Does one start off with a knick and think to yourself after a while, I've got to do with a knack to go with this? And put the two of them together on mantelpiece. They don't really mean anything, do they, knick-knacks? There are things, I suppose, you acquire throughout your lifetime that you have to dust regularly when you're doing the housework, but what exactly are they? What do they signify? Are they such things?
Kenneth Roychance.
3 watts.
There were 3 watts. He waited after the second, waited for the third, then challenged, very sporting, 35 seconds. Knick-knacks, Kenneth, starting now.
I was once asked whether I knew what was smaller than a knit's knackers. I thought about this for a moment and replied, a gnat's knickers. This has not much to do with knick-knacks.
That's too much challenge.
Deviation, which he admitted.
He admitted it. 20 seconds, please.
Well,
you admitted it's got nothing much to do with knick-knacks out of your own mouth.
And you believe
me? Yes, I believe everything anybody says on this program. Knick-knacks with you, Tim. 20 seconds, starting now.
Knick-knacks are really things that are useless, but quite fun. I recently had a birthday, which was almost the reason for a national holiday, not quite, and I received a lot of knick-knacks as a result of this great occasion in my life. I received a Swiss...
Jerry Kelly, yes.
A couple of receives.
A couple of receives. Well, as far as the audience, it's Jerry Kelly against the rest. 4 seconds, Jerry, to tell us something about knick-knacks, starting now.
When I was very young, we took the whole school off to an excursion in Newcastle.
Thank you, Darren.
So, Jerry Kelly was speaking as a whistle-wind, gained that very important extra point, and now he is in the lead alongside Clement Freud and Tim Wright. First time on the show, my goodness me. Tim Rice, your turn to begin. Oh, a wonderful subject for this part of this wonderful country up here. The Giant's Causeway. Tell us something about that exotic and beautiful place, starting now.
The Giant's Causeway is a geological phenomenon. So I have been led to believe by teams of experts from this part of the world. Who knows how it got there? And frankly, who cares?
Chairman Floyd Challenge.
I care.
So that was a good laugh, and had you a more legitimate challenge.
Repetition of who?
Yes. He did repeat who. So 48 seconds for a correct challenge. The Giant's Causeway with you, Clement, starting now.
Dr. Johnson, when traveling in Antrim, wrote, "The Giant's Causeway is worth seeing, but not going to see." I thought somebody just might for C.
I thought he was grinding to a halt.
Oh, no.
And he said C.
Yes, the two C's, 33 seconds, Tim. The Giant's Causeway, back with you, starting now.
When one is in the presence of such a fantastic creation of nature or of God, one's mind drifts off philosophically in all kinds of directions. Do shrimps feel pain? This is the kind of thing you are inclined to think when you...
Jerry Kelly, challenge.
Oh, deviation.
So what? Shrimp.
In the dance club, there are no shrimps about the dance club.
You think talking about...
a philosophical gem that a great... piece of
yes, I think it was very probably quite devious from the Giant's Causeway. I agree with Jerry, in other words. And, Jerry, it was deviation. 16 seconds are available for you on the Giant's Causeway, starting now.
The Giant's Causeway was built by a giant from Ireland. His name was Finn McCool. And what happened many centuries ago...
joy of just a minute. Look on the face as they try to search for another word. Clement got in first with hesitation. 10 seconds. The Giant's Causeway, Clement, starting now.
The Giant's Causeway is a tremendous tourist attraction. Every year, July, August, September, even in early October, people from Britain and Wales and other parts of Ireland...
Well, that's one way to win friends and influence people, isn't it? And Clement Freud, speaking as a whistle-wind and also getting other points in that round, has gone forward, and he's now just in the lead ahead of Tim Rice and Jerry Kelly and Paul Merton in that order. And we're coming to the last round. Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is robbing Peter to pay Paul. An interesting subject. Can you talk on it starting now?
Paul is now so well paid that it's really almost a waste of time to rob Peter, who was unlikely to have nearly enough money to affect Mr. Merton's enormous income.
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
I'm doing this show for the BBC. There are no enormous sums involved.
I know. But we enjoyed your challenge, so we give you a bonus point for that. But leave the subject with Clement Freud, who continues with 48 seconds on robbing Peter to pay Paul, starting now.
I don't really know about robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's an expression one hears quite frequently. And I suppose Peter might have been the biblical character. Paul, on the other hand, could easily also have featured in the good book. Matthew, Mark were just some of the versions in the New Testament which has people called Peter and Paul, also Jordan.
Hesitation, yeah, I've never seen Clement struggle so much. I think he was looking for a challenge, and he got one from Paul Merton. 21 seconds are left to you, Paul, on robbing Peter to pay Paul, starting now.
Well, it doesn't really make financial sense, because in the end, you're still going to have to owe a great deal of money to one individual. You can take from this person, and you can pay that person off, but you...
Gary Kelly was the one who got in. So, Gary, you're learning fast. 10 seconds available. Robbing Peter to pay Paul, starting now.
Robbing Peter to pay Paul reminds me of Robin Hood and his Merry Men. This was a story associated with Nottingham in England, where this gentleman called... Sorry.
Hesitation. Yes, he was trying to find another one for Robin, wasn't
yes.
he? And you've got him with 1 second to go. You... Robbing Peter to pay Paul. 1 second left. Paul Merton starting now.
I owe Peter £5,000.
Well, as I said when we began that round, it was to be the last, and indeed we have no more time to play just a minute, so let me give the final score. They all scored almost the same amount of points, because they all made equal contributions. But for those who are interested in points, let me give you the final situation. Tim Rice and Gerry Kelly, who's never played the game before, and had incredible support from this audience here, came equal in third place, but they were only 1 point behind Paul Merton, and he was only 2 points behind our winner this week, who is Clement Freud. Clement. Thank our four exciting players of the game, which is Tim Rice, Clement Freud, Gerry Kelly, and Paul Merton. Also to thank Helen Williams, who's kept the score, blown her whistle so delicately and magnificently. Also our producer, Chris Neal, who has looked after us and guided us to this position and brought us all over here to Belfast. And also the creator of the game, Ian Messiter. And from them and to this lovely audience at Queen's at Belfast, thank you for coming and cheering us on. And to all our listeners, thank you very much for staying tuned. Be with us the next time we take to the air and play. Just a minute, until then, from all of us here, goodbye!
And Just a Minute, we'll be back next Saturday lunchtime.